نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We hear much of Ayatul Kursi, the greatest verse in the Quran Sharif. Then the home that this Ayatul Kursi is recited, Shaitan and the evil forces vanish, they move away. The one that recites the Ayatul Kursi after the Farz Namaz, then only death is the delay for him to enter into Jannah. So the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi, we need to know his maqam. The line of thought that we follow is the line of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And the greatest successor of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib was Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, that was his son. So the ulama in that zamana, about 2.5 centuries away, all want their son to be linked up to the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So therefore, Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib is known as the Musnadul Hind. I would say safely at least 70-80% of the world where hadith is being taught and transmitted, it's coming through the same chain. Allah has given him such wide acceptance. So Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali passed away quite young, around 50-something. But the amount of work Allah Ta'ala took from him was incredible, too much. So much of work. He had gone to learn hadith in Medina Munawwara by Sheikh Tayyib, Tahir Tayyib. And the Sheikh would say, that أخذت اللفظ مني وأخذت المعنى منك. You have learned the word from me, but I've learned the meaning of the hadith from you. So even his seniors have testified and confirmed his authority, his greatness in hadith. So he was a person that would see Rasulullah Sallallahu very often. Just put his head down, and he would see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says that there were some things that I could not come to terms with. One was taqleed, following an imam. So now because of the vastness of his knowledge, then he couldn't come to terms with taqleed. And he was told that you must do taqleed. We'll have to follow an imam. The second thing that used to come to me is I couldn't understand the sequence of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman and Ali. And I was inspired that that's the sequence to be maintained. And the third thing that I was inspired with was taqleed. One was the sequence, right? And the third thing I was inspired with is Hanafiyat, the mazhab of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, would be throughout India. It means India in that zamana. That zamana, India included Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and all these neighboring countries, Singapore, Malaysia, all these things here. Not so much of Malaysia, but this. So this was the heart of Deen, India, at the time. So the trade was centered here, and the Deen was centered here. If someone knows the history, because America, all these things just came afterwards. Islam came to these countries, but long after. So the whole Islam was just here. Here and somewhat in Africa and Arabia. Three areas, Arabia, Africa, and India. That was the main. Others may have had in pockets. So he would say that this Hanafiyat in India has been blessed with the maqam of Dana wa Tadalla. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was exalted to the seventh heaven and then to the maqam of Sariful Aqlam, where the malaika are recording. Then he was exalted to another maqam above, right? And at this point, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ascended to the maqam of Dana wa Tadalla. So as though there were nine ascensions. Right? So from that point, he asked Jibreel Alayhi Salaam to accompany him to Dana wa Tadalla. So Jibreel Alayhi Salaam shivered at this and said, that maqam is only for you. If I move even one hair breadth, I'll be burnt, reduced to ashes. So, this maqam of Dana wa Tadalla, that was like the acceptance of Hanafiyat in the entire India. So that was an exclusive gift of Allah Ta'ala for India. Thereafter, as the Shaykh says, in my understanding, this Dana wa Tadalla in this age is for the Tabligh Jamaat. So Hanafiyat, and you look throughout India, Pakistan, the Ghalib, one that is predominant, is Hanafiyat, right? And thereafter he says that the Jamaat has got the maqam of Dana wa Tadalla, in other words, in simple terms, exclusive acceptance. So every zamana has some type of exclusive acceptance. So this has been given the exclusive acceptance. And then you don't need a lot of justification for this, because you just look out within the breadth and the length of India and other parts of the world, then the catalyst that motivated and pushed Deen was the Jamaat. Right? I was talking to some brothers from Canada, you know. So I said, see, I know from the Kalguzaris that the Juma Namaz in Canada was read on a Sunday. And then there was a Jamaat that came there and corrected them, brought them through Friday. So that Canadian is telling me, yes, it was a South African Jamaat. Bhaipada did that. So he's telling me that he was there and he's a witness to all this. So a lot of the Dini work was done, and this is how it ran. Then around 60-61, must know some history, right, of your roots and your origins. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi was here, and he observes very well. He'll make a statement after a lot of observation and a thorough checkup. So he was not an emotional person like us. Just say things very well. He observe, understand, relate. When he saw the demographics of this country, he went straight to Nizamuddin after he had left South Africa. And he says to Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi that this is very fertile ground for the Tabligh Jamaat. And then, just then, 62, then you see the work of Jamaat is started off here. But you also recognize Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi, and you compliment him that he didn't want to keep all the compliments for himself. And had I not shared this view, you would have known that it was Ali Sahab Rahmatullahi. He was the one that passed on the message. In every situation, there must be a Sulaiman Ali Salam that will do the work, and there must be a Hudhud that will convey the message. Someone conveying and someone taking on. Right? But now look at the goodness of their hearts. Ali Sahab saw, right, this thing here is fertile, and some activity has to take place here for this to carry on, for this to fly now. And I can't see myself, I can't see in Deoband they have a Shobai Tabligh. They have one branch to go and give payans all over. I can't see our people doing this type of a job. Right? This type of a job needs Tabligh Jamaat. So he was man enough and truthful and honest enough to relate this to Mu'aysur Rahmatullahi, and there they took it on and they moved. So we need to know some little bit of history why to be able to appreciate the forerunners in any work and understand who were the forerunners. Shaykhul Islam Rahmatullahi, someone saw that all the muhaddithin fuqaha are making dua for him. Right? So now it was a surprise, now all of them are making dua for him. So it was his style that when he will teach hadith, right, then he will say radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhu wa anhum. That we make dua for the Sahaba that is transmitting the hadith to us, as well as all the chain of narrators from us, right to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All the chain. So he's made dua not only for the Sahabi, but the chain of narrators from him right to the Sahabi. And he's doing it diligently, every hadith, and he's doing it diligently. So the catalyst, what was the catalyst? The level of appreciation and gratitude that he had shown. Okay. We learn from him, and when we learn from these personalities, it's not that we learned and we left them and we carried on. Okay. I mentioned this some time back, Marjorie was reminding me about this. Then I told him that the statement of Imam Malik, see, we don't understand these great personalities. And I think until we don't learn to appreciate and understand them, then you can't progress. So Imam Malik used to say, you know, adab, gratitude, right, and ta'lim. So what should be the proportion? So the proportion is, like, say, you got food, right? So ta'lim must be like salt, and that adab, appreciation, must be like the actual food. Now, is it like this, or have we reversed it? Adab, the respect, and the appreciation must be like the quantity of food, and the ta'lim, the instruction, must be like salt. You definitely need salt to enhance the flavor, right? Without the salt, you can't enhance the flavor. But what is the proportion? Understand what is the proportion, you'll get it right, and then work towards it. So I tell you about Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi. So all these were great, great luminaries. Now, I say we have forgotten to look at their life and the contributions. The whole world couldn't produce people like that. If you look at the whole history around that time, in that zaman, the whole world couldn't produce. Because nobody, you can't see anybody that age. Right? Then their stability and their firmness on the truth. So there was a lot of Shia influence at that time in India. And how the Shia influence came about was there was a person like Sher Shah Suri. So he's now around the Mughal Empire, right? So whoever the empire, whoever the emperor was, that Akbar or Humayun, whoever it was, and his main consultant was this Sher Shah Suri. Main. So he understood the whole parliament, how it works. When he understood how it works, he toppled the government, he became the emperor. So the king had to take refuge in Iran. The common language was Persian. India and Persia, the language then was Persian. So he took refuge in Persia. And he came with a reinforcement from Persia to India to reinstate himself. Here he saw that Sher Shah Suri, he died, so it was easy for him to remain there. But now, the present government, the Mughal government, they had to recognize Persia for their reinforcements. And in doing so, they had to give them prominent positions. Because now, he came in with their strength and with their might. So he became the emperor, but he had to recognize them. It was a zamana that they recognized, they appreciated, they never forgot. And that's the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Ma kana rabbuka nasiya. Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget. Appreciate, and you appreciate with your whole life, appreciate. Look at the Shaykh of Islam, every hadith, radiyallahu anhu, wa anhum. There were some Pakistani ulama here, and they say, no matter what they speak about the Shaykh al-Islam, but approximately the whole Pakistan and India is obliged to Hazrat, obligated to Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam, rahmatullahi alayhi, for hadith. No matter what they say, differences, whatever. But if you look at the whole India layout, Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, they're obligated to this man. So what level of sincerity, adab and gratitude he must have had, that the entire subcontinent is obligated to this man. Can you see that? So I was explaining this for you to understand, right? Make you understand, open your minds. Our Ustad Ibrahim Mia Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, so around 75, they embarked on the project of printing the Quran Sharif. So, Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib and his family, they're very meticulous. Very, very meticulous. Right? They go the length and the breadth, investigate, do everything before they start up something. So, because now they have to get the Quran Sharif, must be such, be reader-friendly, carrier-friendly, seer-friendly, weight-friendly, all that. And paper must be right. And the way you open the Quran Sharif, it must be a joy, it must be a pleasure. Not that you're opening it and the pages are closing back. So they have to see all these things there. And for that, they traveled everywhere. India, China, everywhere they went. To see all these things are in place. So they undertook that journey and they went. Right. Now they were there in China, and the group, Ibrahim Sahib's group, they said, hey, you know, we could have performed namaz behind a local Chinese imam. That was the desire. Will it be ever possible? So they spoke to the guide, first time they went up to China. Okay. We want to perform namaz behind a local Chinese imam, right? Ching Chong. So anyway, the guide said, you know, I know someone that's local, he's Chinese, and he's the imam. It's a hillside region. It'll take us some time, but I know that person. So they went. Now the khutbah that is being recited on the Jummah is exactly the Indian khutbah. You know, Alhamdulillah, Ali Izzat, Ismail Shaheed Sabramas. Now they became interested. Now this man here is Chinese and he's speaking the Indian khutbah. How did he come? You know, meet him. So he says, Main Dabir se farighun.
He caught them offside. They thought that he's Pete Cheekshong. And his ustads are the students of Hazrat Shaykhul Islam, rahmatullahi. See that sincerity was had, that Allah Pak just let it go. Beside, outside, everywhere, he just went right to China, his ulum. And see that. On the side of Ibrahim Sahib, rahmatullahi, right, they made all the homework, they appreciated, they showed gratitude. But 75, I think, approximately around that time, they started the project. And now it's 2025. Allah Ta'ala accepted this one. Anywhere in the world you go, see, you got the Miyasam Quran Sharif. And the way they hit the market, even India, they want the same Quran Sharif. They want this imprint. Can you see that? But this is the pain, the ta'alluq they had, the ta'alluq, the relationship, the affinity, the bond that they had, they didn't let it go. Differences all of us will have. We just ride past the differences. So long as they remain onto the mainstream. They don't shift away from the mainstream, so we respect them. Right? Mainstream is the main thing in Islam. They remain. Other things, we have a mistake here, I'll have a mistake, we'll have a mistake, but keep to the mainstream, so we respect those people who maintain that mainstream. So anyway, we're talking about this, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, rahmatullahi. So he says that the entire heart of the Quran Sharif, the entire heart of the Surah Baqarah is Ayatul Kursi, it's the heart. Right? And the soul and the life is the word Al-Hayyul Qayyum. So the heart is Ayatul Kursi. And the soul and the life, you know, the essence is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. So that's the entire theme of the entire Surah Baqarah. Al-Hayy means eternal, alive, right? That's what it means. So now, why did he say that Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum is the very essence, right? Look at it. Isa alayhi salam, when he had to restore life, he would use the words Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Asif in a Barkhiya, we had to move the throne of Bilqis. As a movie tried to Sulaiman Islam, he used the same word Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Hazrat Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he had to plead to Allah Ta'ala on the night of Badr, then Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Can you see the power, the might of these words? Right. So now, he says that this is the very essence, eternal, right? Now, why did he have to say that this is the life? This is the life, right? Because this whole surah is showing you life. What is life all about? Right? Because when you want to enjoy life, you want to enjoy life at its best, right? You don't enjoy life half, quarter, three quarter. You want to enjoy it, but at its best. So what you want to enjoy must be the best, and the ability to enjoy must be the best. Right? What you want to enjoy must be the best, and the ability, the aptitude to enjoy also must be at the highest, right? Right? If I give you the best chocolate, but you got diabetes, very high diabetes, can you enjoy it? Right? I give you a very good 10-course meal, right? But you got a very high fever running, can you enjoy it? So it must be the best, and your aptitude, your capacity to enjoy must be at the highest. So that's life. See? So Allah Ta'ala speaks about these people here, the ones that have given their lives in the course of Allah Ta'ala, right? So Allah Ta'ala speaks about them, right? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, right? So Allah Ta'ala restores them with a special life. Even after they have gone across, He restores them with a special life. Right? لا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا. Don't ever imagine that they are dead. بل أحياؤن. They got a special life. Now, in the words of the hadith, if you compare that life against this life, it's like, you know, take a motor car with a V3 engine against a motor car that got a 5 billion V. This is V3, this is 5 billion. Any comparison? So that life is 5 billion. And 5 billion is still too small. So that's the capacity. Right? So can you see the capacity of enjoyment? To enjoy, you must have the capacity, and that's where you get that capacity. So the one that is shaheed, Allah Ta'ala grants him that level of capacity to enjoy. He gives him a capacity to enjoy, but that's the level of capacity. Now, a simple example, right? Is imagine a person is on a life support. He's living, he's uttering one, two words, he's making some signs, some gestures he's doing, right? So now, he's on a life support, he's alive. You kill him, you'll be charged for murder, right? And now compare him to a person who is super fit, he's eating well, drinking well, living well, moving around. Any comparison? He's good for himself, he's good for his people, for all. So is there any comparison? So that is the shaheed. So, ek jaan khuda ko supur kar diya, is given one life, and Allah Pak has blessed him with billions and trillions of life. You just gave one. See life, eternal life, al-hayyu, al-qayyum. So you gave one life, and Allah Ta'ala has compensated you with billions and trillions of lives. So it's just a matter of your eyes closing, and there you get it. There must be some reason why Rasulullah had to say, وَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ. I just wish, you know, I could have been killed, I could have been martyred in the path of Allah Ta'ala, brought back to life, again be martyred, again brought to life. So there must have been something outstanding for this shaheed, right? Now, the thing that is quite common or quite distinct in the shaheed is that he's giving his life for what? What is giving his life for? Right? So, fighting in the cause of Allah Ta'ala is not to force people to deen. La ikraha fi deen. That's not the reason for jihad. People have got the whole wrong picture. And, you know, the shaitans, the way they have polished the picture of jihad, like, now, in most places, like, it's a big crime to talk about jihad. Talk about jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah Ta'ala, like, as though it's a major crime. So then, what is the reason for jihad? The reason for jihad is, see, the word of Allah Ta'ala is the only word that is absolutely accurate, that's absolutely fair, and just. Right? Any other law is just got a fronting, but there's no justice, is not accurate. Therefore, it has to go through some amendment every now and then. Right? In the 60s, I saw an article in the Sunday Times, I think it was. Right? So, some person was charged for the Immorality Act. It was an Indian Muslim who married the white. So they charged him. Why? For immorality. And today, if you talk about it as a crime, you will be a criminal. Isn't it? So the law has to go through some amendments, right? And that's internationally, right, there is no justice. You can't talk about justice anywhere in the world. When you look at the cases, right? So, the shaitans, we talk that we are responsible for the justice of the world, right? But now look at it holistically and you understand how inconsistent this statement is, right? Because these people that are talking about it, they are responsible for millions of murders
in the last, say, 50 years, millions of murders. Japan, then looking to Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, right, Gaza. There's one Jamaat, one shaitanic Jamaat, that's responsible for all this. Right? And when you scrutinize it properly, then there's no other reason but control. They'll say, you know, we're going to destroy weapons of mass destruction. But you ask them, are you killing people with your mass destruction, or are you killing the weapons of mass destruction? Are you killing people with your, you know, mass destruction on people, or mass destruction on weapons? Look at it. Right. Now, they made Afghanistan a criminal, right? And wiped out thousands, lands, people, right? Hey, they're living far in the West, and these people are far in the East. Any connection? No connection at all. So what business they had here to come and kill, destroy? What business? So the only business they had is that you must listen to us. If you listen to us, then you'll see things working out. But you don't listen to us, then there'll be mass destruction. Not weapons of mass destruction, humans that will be subjected to mass destruction. So that's the only plan. Right? So therefore, we say Islam is the only solution for justice, for goodness, and for righteousness to prevail. Short words, we don't have to make an elaborate an investigation, but that's the solution. Nothing else is. So you can't substitute the law of Allah Ta'ala. They made this type of statement, but now look what happened after that. How many they kill? And whatever they do, they're right. If they're killing people in Sham, it's right. Syria. Right? Millions went there in Syria, right? And nothing was done, right? Nothing was done. But when the Muslim government takes over, then there's a big noise. Oh, you're not teaching evolution. What a big crime you all did. All the time they were killing, no problem. Afghanistan, they were killing, you know, just randomly they were killing. So it was all right. But the moment they got control, then you people are very, very unfair. You know, you are usurping the rights of women. You're not allowing them to be educated. See that? So all the killing they did, the murdering, the torture, the whatever they did, all that was right. But now that they're banning women's education, so that became the major crime. See? Now again, look at the same Surah Baqarah, right? You'll find these things here. And that's why I complain against my friends. Quran Sharif ko dekhte nahi, aur sochte nahi. So look at Shaitan's plan. Shaitan's plan is, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِيدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ وَاللَّهُ يَعِيدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Right. Shaitan's plan, what it is about frightening you with poverty. Right? So if you look at this whole circular system, what is it engineered towards? Material security. Same thing. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِيدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ. They frighten you with poverty. What will happen? Hey, you don't have any medical. You don't have anything. What happened? Accident, you got no cover. Medical, you got no cover. What will happen to you? So, shaitanu ya'idukum al-faqra. Shaitan will frighten you with poverty. Right? Can you see that in this whole circular system? Is that not the main like the theme in this whole circular system? Anybody that knows about it, he'll tell you that that's the theme. That they'll keep frightening you. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? The second thing that the whole shaitan will do, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ, will encourage you in every type of indecent behavior. Can you see that? Working hand in glove. So, how it starts off? It starts off with education. It escalates from one thing to the second thing and third thing. It doesn't stop at any point. So, they did some
independent investigation on women's education, right? That women's education only started off around 1850, right? Before that, I ask you, women were dying. See? Poverty. But the thing is, what will happen? Like today, a woman is not educated. Kya hoga? What will happen? Right? For till 1850, 1850 years from Isa alayhi salam's ascension, right, according to them, nothing happened. From then, that point, they start pushing this. Right? So it's about 200 years that they are pushing it. Right? Right now, look at now you only get the investigation right. See that they started around 1850, right? Women's education, right? Then how did it impact upon indecency? Because الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ. So they say just in the United States alone, right? Right? I don't know how many million cases you get of women being interfered, right? Raped, and all the time. And then they say that only 30% are reported. That means 70% is going unreported. People, because of shame, embarrassment, etc., they don't want to report this thing and make the child look so ugly in the presence of people. So 70% is going unreported, 30% is reported. Now they open the door, but now they don't know how to control it. Can you see that? You open the door, but can you control the whole thing? And then women, like mad, will go into it. Why? Because they see what's in there for them. Right? Like many Arab countries, now they start with employing women, right? In the top countries, they start employing women, right? So they offering them big perks. So like some countries, they're paying them in dirhams, right? And they're getting about 40,000, 50,000. The dirham is about 4 or 5 rands, one dirham, right? Now, what's the aftermath? They open this door, and what happened after that? Now, there's a major problem. Those women don't want to get married. They said, we're so independent, what's the need for us to be living under someone? Why must we subject ourselves? We are now in control. We have got the might, we've got the glory, right? Is there a need for us to subject ourselves to someone? Can you see that aftermath? Now, they don't realize that education is not a solution for your emotions and your feeling. That education came, money came, right? But with that money and education, can you see now, all your emotions and your feelings, sensual pleasure, all will be suppressed. Can you see that? No. I think it's still on the rise. So how are you going to fulfill that? How are you going to attend to that? So they talk about, see, the shaitan's devis, they talk about one sahabi, Aisha, she married like this, at the 9 years of age, right? All right. But the indecent behavior, the rape, how women are being molested, right, left, right, and center, in one country itself, in this country, last year sometimes, there were over 3,000 girls that became pregnant under 13. So you're not going to go this way, yeah? Then you're going to expose women to this type of danger. Can you see that? So when they give a report, the report is selective. What they want to give, that's what they'll give, and the rest of it they'll just conceal. I think they won't show it. So this whole indecent behavior, if you go and check in this archives on the right, you'll find it's just escalating one year after the other. It's just escalating. Now, the stats showing in Europe alone, right, what they're showing, that over 80% are living unmarried. What? Boyfriend, girlfriend, unmarried, right? Right? One white now, you see, they're living this life, must understand how they live, right? So he's complaining, there's no life in God. And we admire, they think, those that are unbiased, and we appreciate your life. You've got a family unit, such a good bond, a get-together, there's an occasion, a function like tonight, right? Chan Muharram, so many people get together, eat, enjoy, talk. Say, we don't have a thing like this. And he's complaining. He says, see, by us now, a woman is just like a motor car. Every now and then you're trading, right? You're trading, right? That's how they live, you know. So we're not marrying, and we just train. We live 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years. So now, he's showing his wife, right? So the pastor is giving the bayan on a Sunday. Here, bayan. And the pastor's eyes fell on that person's wife. And somehow they got together. So she left the previous husband, came for the pastor. In the meanwhile, he's still listening to the pastor. I think, hey, Mulana, he hijacked your wife, and you're listening to his bayan. Does it make sense? It's not just making sense. You'll hear the guts of the person. Yeah, it's like normal. Absolutely normal. But that's the line they're taking you. So if they talk about women's education, it's understandable. Because it's a crowd that will have no reservation against wife swapping as long as it is consensual. But there is a high word, consensual, it must be. Wife swapping is all right. Incest with your daughter, with your mother, consensual of age, normal, absolutely. Is that a crime in any Western country? No. Incest, your own daughter, own mother, play around, do anything, fondle, do everything, but it's not a crime. So if they speak about women's education, then it's understandable, right? Eating swine. So if they behave like that, then it's not a problem. If they are talking about women's education, then understand that they are promoting prostitution under an escort agency, a very camouflaged. If someone is involved in that, then they say it's just an extramarital affair. So the way they cover the whole adultery, they don't talk about adultery no more, they talk about this. So it's just a cover. So we are not supposed to be just getting influenced by them. Look at their lifestyle, how they live, right? What they do, how they behave. So now, another problem that has come up with these people here, I think I'm talking about something else, but now, I think this flashed. Maybe a month or 2 months ago, the Pope died, right? So when he died now, they already made Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Right? So I'm making dua for maghfirat and for peace, living in peace, right? Right? So they did that for that person. Then last week that Swagat died, right? So they say he's a good person also. But he was also playing around with girls. He was the world's top televangelist. World's best televangelist, and the independent investigation is any person that becomes a televangelist, right? He must have an affair with a woman. He must have an affair with a woman, right? Now, I just fear our televangelists. What's going to happen to them? Because before they appear before the screen, they must make themselves very well appealing, you know, appealing, attractive. I know, I can believe this story, because when our people, our scholars went onto the television, right, one ex-student came here from Cape Town, I won't mention his name, right. So he came and told me, you know, when he came on the television, there wasn't a Cape Town woman that didn't want to marry him. See that, I had a chance to have married this person. So they make themselves so attractive, but now it's an invitation to Islam or invitation to zina, I ask you. Is it an invitation? See, a shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqra wa ya'murukum bil-fahsh. Just look at the Quranic word. Again, bhai, main da'wat deta hu, Quran Sharif ko dekho, bhai. Dekho, samjho, ghor karo. Fala yatadabbaruna al-Quran. Can you see that? They made him a Jannati, Pope Swagat Jannati. Then, just 2 days ago, that Liverpool player, right, striker. So I need to know what's the meaning of striker. They told me striker means one who's striking the goal, right? So the striker, his name was Chota. It was spelled with a G, right? But pronounced as Chota, right? But he's driving a Lamborghini or something. he crashed or something, there was a fire, and he and his brother both burned to death, right? So there was a big procession. So the scholars saying now, he's a Jannati, say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah Pak knows the best. Don't make him a Jahannami. Hey, teri akal kahan mari gayi? That means, they put away 70 of the mushriks on Badr, right? Now you can't say that Allah Pak knows the best, and you mustn't talk about them. Is that statement right? Abu Jahl, he may have said the kalima right at the ending, right? So make him Jannati also, right? Right? Understand? What about Abu Lahab? The verse came when he was alive, but the ending the Quran says didn't speak about, so make him a Jannati as well. Fir'aun actually said, what he said? Amantu bima amanat bi banu Israel. He testified in about three ways. Amantu billadhi amanat bi banu Israel. Wa ana min al muslimin. Three ways. Right? Make him a Jannati also. Unki akal kahan mari gayi? Kahan mari gayi? Then Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani, make him Jannati also. So we don't know what happened at the end. So make him Jannati as well. Say inna lillahi. Akal mari gayi. Even remember the principle, right? La takunu kal ladina nasullah. Don't be like the ones who have forgotten Allah Ta'ala. Then what happens? For ansahum, anfusahum. See, when you forget Allah Ta'ala, then there is no security on your mind. Your mind, your power of reasoning and understanding is totally lost. There's no security. The security comes at the level of your remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Dalil is, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. Remember Allah Ta'ala, Iman, Allah Ta'ala takes care of your mind. See that? مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, who takes care of your mind? Allah Ta'ala. But if you have removed Allah Ta'ala from the equation, right, then فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ. فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي, who can guide you after that? Is there any security on your mind? Is there any security in yourself? No security. Security is gone. The right will appear to be wrong, and the wrong will appear to be right. Why? The mental security is gone. And you feel that because you are educated, therefore you can't be misguided. That's the whole problem. I ask you, Fir'aun, was he any less educated? He had a brain. Qarun is a brain. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُوا عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ إِنْدِي. I got it because of my brains I got it. I'm so sharp. No, none of the Bani Israel or Egypt has got wealth like I have got. So, that Hidayat came because of brains. It's not because of brains. لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ رَسُولُ. Don't forget Allah Ta'ala. Anything you're doing, small or big, by Khudaku, yaad karke kaam karo. Keep Allah Ta'ala before you and then work. What will amount to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? What will amount to His raza? What will amount to His obedience? You must see everything. Is He happy? Is this stroke of mine right? Will Allah Ta'ala be pleased with it or not? Right? Right? So at every given moment you're looking at Allah Ta'ala, then you're taking the step. And the moment you forgot Allah Ta'ala for ansam, then Allah Ta'ala will cause you to forget. That means that mental security is gone. When the mental security is gone, I ask you, you can be out doing a lot of things, but you got no security, you got no endorsement of any security. So how much do we require that mental security? So now, you look at it again, right? And one beautiful dua to be read to gain this mental security is as you leave the home in the morning, إِنِّي أَعُوذُبِكَ مِنَ الْأَضِلَّ أَوْ أُضَلْ. See that? It's a very powerful dua. I ask for Allah's protection that I get misled, or I mislead others. مِنَ الْأَضِلَّ أَوْ أُضَلْ. Right? I mislead, or I am misled. Right? Both. Right? That means, Allah, let me not do something that I can be misled, or others can be Muslim. I'm feeling so confident of myself. Doing bayan, I give bayan this idea, right? I seem so confident of myself. But are you misleading people or are you leading people correctly? You know, I spoke about the Tabligh Jamaat, right? I don't think now this just he bought me off some speaking of Jamaat, right? But Gumani ka zamana, right? Now look at their work, right? Look at their work. I'm observing from the 60s. So over 60 years I'm watching them, right? From that time I'm seeing so many people, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s, so properly, right? Women came into parda. You know, it's a little bit embarrassing, but let me say it, right? But I know I was schooling at that time. Girls, no scarf, short sleeves. Many of them had no ijar. But today they are mothers of molanas. And I used to think at that time, will we see at the day, you know, people in kurtas and all that. They made the reality, right? So many people are not going for Hajj, and start going for Hajj, right? So many people, I can remember, right, around the 60s, people going for Hajj, must buy me that watch, you know. That watch must buy me. So you're going there, making tawaf over the watch shops. And the whole direction changed. Then they're going Jamaat, going Gush this side, they're going Gush that side, rounding people up, putting people on the line, right? Can you see the change they brought? I saw at that time, people were embarrassed, people wear kurtas. Besides the imam, you won't find a person wearing a kurta. And then now to come to the masjid for a hafiz or for an alim without a kurta is embarrassing. It is embarrassing. They change the whole thing, the whole time. Now, can we just disregard them for the aid? So, Allahumma inni a'udhubika min al-adhilla aw udalla. Aw azilla aw udalla. Or I'm forced to slip. Right? I fall on myself. Min al-adhilla aw udalla. I can slip and someone else can cause me to slip as well. Inni a'udhubika min al-adhilla aw udalla. Aw azilla aw udalla. Or ajhala or yujhala ali, right? Or I do something wrong, you know. Ajhala, I behave in an improper way. I do things that are not right, unsightly. I do things, I behave in a wrong way, right? Or ajhala or ujhala, right? Or my mind, my mental capacity is blocked off. When it's blocked off, then I see the wrongs to be right, and the right to be thrown. See, that my mental capacity has gone blocked off. It's blocked off, so I can't see things. See that mental capacity, how it goes off, and how your whole reasoning process goes off. I was explaining this previously also. That one person, he mailed us, right? See, actually when Allah blocks the intelligence, what happens? What happens when Allah blocks the intelligence? So he lost his wife, so he married. Well, 1-2 years he played nicely with his wife. The second, third year, he became interested in his wife's daughter, that means his stepdaughter. He's playing with her. Eventually he divorced the wife, got married to this one. So he asked, he said, it's haram. It's your wife's daughter, that's your stepdaughter, to marry her is haram. He said, no, don't be judgmental. See, we use these terms very loosely in a bayan, fiery speaker, and using these words very, very loosely. That person, do you know how he's receiving your words? He's applying into his situation here. Yeah? I said, don't be judgmental, because I made Toba already. So we have to explain this thing here. By making Toba, mistakenly you add pork, right? By making Toba, does the pork become halal? So, by making Toba, that girl doesn't become halal. She'll still remain haram. Yes, whatever you've done mistakenly, Allah will forgive you. But now you're going into this, and you're saying, no, don't be judgmental. See how loosely it's used. So now, that's the reason why they say, by apne baron ke saath raho. Just remain tied with your elders. Because, فَقَدِسْتَمْ سَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْخَى. You're holding on to a handhold that is most reliable. Like you see, the line of our Buzurganuddin Mashayikh Ulama, right? Each one held to his senior and so forth and so on. Imam Bukhari, sahab, you know, the whole world talks about him, right? But he was told once, you know, if you had a wish, what would you have desired? He says, my elders like Ishaq ibn Rahiway, Yahya ibn Ma'in, if they were alive, I would have just liked to be in their presence. Can you see that? Oh, there must have been something in this man here to gain such wide acceptance. It's already 1200 years. He passed away 256, right? Imam Bukhari, right? Now it's 1446, isn't it? Huh? So over 1200 years. Over 1200 years. But the acceptance is just growing. It's growing, right? It's growing. So the attachment that they had with their elders, right? Now don't feel hurt, right? When he prepared his kitab, Al-Jami'a, right? So he presented it to all his elders, Ahmad, Yahya ibn Ma'in, and Ali ibn Madini, he presented it before them. Only after he got their approval, then he let it out. See. How many of us do it? See that the ta'alluq with the elders, the ta'alluq with elders, very, very sound. Very, very sound. They didn't let go. Whoever, ek to raabte ka bara, or ek to zaabte ka bara, right? Officially they are counted as your elders. As a Shaykh Hamzali, I saw that sunnat in him. If he prepared his fazail kitabs, or aujas, whatever kitab, then he presented it to the ulama of that time. Because his ustad were late, right? So his aujas, his fazail kitab, Mona Asadullah, we saw him, alhamdulillah, right? Then Mona Abdul Rahman Kamalpuri, right? So he would present it before them. And sometimes pages upon pages they would say, Haza ma yudra wala yutla. This thing here, you can read, someone that's got that level, but is not for public consumption. It's a discussion. The discussion is not for public consumption. So without any hesitation, let's leave it out. But you see that. So this acceptance, how did it come? So what is this dua? Azilla o udal, azilla o uzlam, o uzal, azlima o uzlam. That I be cruel to anybody, only cruelty comes to me. Or I behave in a wrong way, or someone behaves incorrectly towards me. But I say, agar ji laga kar ki ye dua ki, you put your heart and made this dua, how powerful this dua can be. Because the main thing that you need is yahdi qalba, that your mind must be correctly guided. Actually, is there anything greater than that? Then your mind and your reasoning goes right. Is there anything bigger than that? Your mind must go right, your reasoning must go right, so your behavior goes right. But if your mind goes off, you'll behave like this person marrying his daughter and say, Amitoba. See that? But see how it goes off. So this I saw, you have to be in contact with these people here. Then only it goes right. Otherwise, it doesn't go right. No matter what you did and what kitab you did, what kitab you didn't do, but there is no proper connection, no compatibility, no proper connection, right? Or connection, but not at that level. Then you can't find that level of security. You're doing something and you're wondering now, okay, what I'm doing, is it right? Will it work? Won't it work? Will it backfire? Will it have wrong consequences? You know, all those type of thoughts. But now you are linked up and you maintain the link, right? You don't disrupt the link. You maintain the link. Then you're going on. It's like a train and you've got the coaches, right? The coaches have to be linked up, right, to the engine for them to reach wherever the engine will reach. But you're not linked up and you say you want to go, right, and you're trying, moving. So at some point you have to fail. So this whole process is about falling, right? So Imam Bukhari is worried. Ittabi' wala tabtadi'. In Kitab al-Islam it says, ittabi', follow. Follow who? نقتدي بمن قبلنا. What he says? نقتدي بمن قبلنا ويقتدي بنا من بعدنا. اللہ وقت فیصلہ.